My name's Eloisa Haynes, and I'm married to
Nick Haynes. I'm Nick Haynes, and we're married. We're a married couple.
Nick and Eloisa are sitting side by side in their dining room. Perched in Nick's lap is a tiny 5-pound Yorkie named Pop-Tart. The couple, who are celebrating their 6th wedding anniversary in May, lovingly refer to this little ball of brown and black fur as their daughter. When the couple thinks about actually having kids, though, the future's uncertain. But it's not because they don't want them. In early February, Eloisa found out her application for U.S. citizenship was denied, and now they don't know if she'll be able to stay in the U.S.
I mean, this is difficult because we really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, any day we could get a letter saying that we need to leave. So it's just, it's difficult emotionally and just in making financial decisions.
Planning for the future.
Planning for the future. It is very, very hard.
Until marrying Nick, Eloisa was undocumented. In 1996, a few years after losing his job in Mexico City, Eloisa's father brought their family to Texas in search of work and a way to provide for his wife and 3 daughters. It was also in 96 that a key change was made to the requirement for naturalization. Kathleen Campbell Walker, an El Paso-based immigration attorney and former national president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, explains.
If the false claim was made before I applied for legal permanent residence through my U.S. citizen spouse, then that would be a ground of ineligibility to become a permanent resident if that false claim to U.S. citizenship was made after September 30th, on or after September 30th of 1996.
And this is exactly the situation Eloisa found herself in. To support herself, she had claimed to be a U.S. citizen on the I-9, or Employment Eligibility Verification Form, before becoming a legal permanent resident. But the couple didn't realize this could prevent her from eventually becoming a citizen. So when they filled out the application known as the N-400 over a year and a half ago, they, in keeping with their Christian faith, indicated that Eloisa had falsely claimed to be a U.S. citizen before.
You know, when we were filling out the N-400 application, our choice was to honor God. We actually didn't know that this would cause us problems. You know, we thought that by being transparent, by demonstrating moral character, that's one of the issues that you have to overcome on an N-400 application. You have to demonstrate moral character, and then we thought by being honest and by being transparent that we felt that by honoring God, it would ultimately help our case.
As Nick mentions, good moral character is one of the requirements for naturalization. To find out what does or doesn't count for good moral character, I called Maria Elena Upson, a spokeswoman with U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
What are things that would put somebody in sort of a standing of bad moral character that would call their application into question?
Racketeering, prostitution, habitual drunkard. There's an extensive list of what is not considered good moral character, if you will.
And would misrepresenting their status in the past put them on that list of sort of not having good moral character?
That is correct.
Eloise has never committed a crime. She's never even had a traffic ticket. And, I mean, her only quote-unquote crime is claiming to be a citizen in order to survive. You know, that's not something that's worthy of a jail sentence, not something that's worthy of a deportation. And it's amazing to think about. There's we've done research. I mean, there's literally millions of people in the same situation, U.S. citizen families that are married to someone, U.S. citizens that are married to somebody else that is undocumented, that they're not eligible for citizenship, and families are being torn apart by deportation.
And it's that possibility of being torn apart that weighs so heavily on Eloisa. While removal proceedings haven't been initiated, they could be at any time. The rejection letter Eloisa received not only denied her application for naturalization, it also stated that she should have never been granted legal permanent residency in the first place.
If they were to send me back to Mexico, what I'm grieved most about is Nick. He's a U.S. citizen. He shouldn't have to be exiled from his own country because of me. And I'm grieved for, I mean, we don't have any children yet, but when we do, they... just because their father will be is a U.S. citizen, they will be entitled to be U.S. citizens as well, but they will be denied the privilege of growing in the U.S. And my in-laws will not be, where they will not watch their grandchildren grow up. And so I am mostly, I'm just burdened by what this situation is bringing to Nick and his family. I think sometimes people, when they think of immigration and foreigners and aliens, they don't realize that we are so part of the American fabric that you don't even notice us. People don't even ask me these days where I'm from or anything. I don't know why, but I usually don't get that question anymore. And people just assume that since I'm married to Nick, that I'm a citizen. So, but that's not the case.
Talking to Nick and Eloisa, Kathleen and Maria Elena, they all agreed. People think when you marry a U.S. citizen, you're guaranteed citizenship. And you're not. First, Eloisa became a conditional permanent resident, then a legal permanent resident, and she almost became a U.S. citizen. The couple told me that Eloisa's acceptance letter had even been printed when the person managing her case took one last look at her application and realized that she had admitted to misrepresenting her status. And now Nick, a U.S. citizen, and his wife Eloisa face uncertainty. For KWBU, I'm Becky Fogel.